Welcome to the In Touch podcast with Charles Stanley for Wednesday, July 2nd. Can you really trust your conscience to warn you about spiritual danger? Today's podcast will challenge you to align your inner alarm system with God's truth and to never ignore its warnings when they sound.
Can you trust your conscience? It's a pretty good question, isn't it? Can you trust your conscience? And that's what I want to talk about in this message by that very title. Can you trust your conscience? And I want you to turn to 1 Timothy, if you will, in this first chapter. And I want us to read just the 18th, 19th, and 20th verses. And here Paul is writing to young Timothy, and he's the pastor of a church there in Ephesus, going through a little difficult time. And there's some false doctrine going on, and Paul has instructed him to teach the people and to give them guidance and direction, and makes mention of some who have thwarted God's leadership and guidance in their life, paid no attention to their conscience whatsoever, and he says they've made shipwreck of their life. So look, if you will, beginning in verse 18. This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you might fight the good fight, keeping faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. Among these are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan, so that they'll be taught not to blaspheme. Now, what does he mean he handed him over to Satan? Just backed off, took his hands off of him, and said, God, you deal with them. Let the devil have his way in their life. Not because he wanted to in any way destroy them, but when he says, taught them not to blaspheme, that is, he wanted to rescue them from what was going on in their life. But they needed a good lesson, not to ignore their conscience, not to begin doubting God's ways and his principles, that you can just sin against God and get away with it. So let's ask the question and answer it, and I trust that you'll pay close attention, take some notes, and answer the question for yourself. Can you trust your conscience? Well, somebody says, well, now, first of all, what is my conscience? Our conscience is that faculty that God has given us that makes it possible for us to distinguish between what is morally right and morally wrong, especially as it applies to our own life. The capacity to distinguish between what is morally right, morally wrong, especially as it applies to our own life. Because you see, the conscience does some very specific things. That is, he gave us the conscience in order to help us to distinguish between what is morally right and morally wrong. Also, not only to distinguish, but also to urge us to make the right decision, morally speaking, and also to be resistant toward making the wrong decision, doing something wrong morally, and also to be a judge of our conscience. And that is exactly what happens. That is, the conscience is there to help us to distinguish, urge us to do the right thing, help us to be resistant toward doing the wrong thing, and then our conscience is going to judge us. That's why when you do something wrong as a child of God, you say, well, my conscience just began to hurt me. It just sort of stung me. I got convicted. I knew that something wasn't right. That is God doing exactly through your conscience what he intended to do. That is, it is intended in order that you and I may live a godly, moral life in every aspect of our life. Now, let's think about it this way. Every single person has a conscience. That is, God has given to every single person. It's a universal gift of God. Every person has one. And if you'll think about it in the scripture, for example, where does it begin and what's the first indication of it? Well, go back, if you will, to Genesis chapter 3, which every believer is familiar with that passage of scripture because it relates to the fall in the garden. And I want to ask you a question in just a moment, but listen carefully. You remember the temptation of Eve. And so when they had fallen, sinned against God, disobeyed him, here's what happens. Beginning in verse 9, then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? Now, God's not asking for information. He wants Adam to identify his own condition. He said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. Where'd all that come from? In this absolute perfect garden, and all of a sudden you're afraid? Because his conscience had sounded the alarm. Something was wrong. They disobeyed God. Let me ask you a question. How many times does God have to send the alarm in your life before you begin to listen and you begin to realize that he's saying something to you? That's the first indication of the conscience. It is a universal gift from God, and every single person has one. Now, I want you to look at another passage of Scripture, if you will. And let's look, if you will, in Romans chapter 1 for a moment. And notice what Paul is saying here. And he's saying this to those hearers and those readers, some of whom, of course, were Jews. But listen to what he says beginning in verse 18. He says, now, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Now, watch this next verse. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. He says it is within them. That is, God planted in the heart of every single person a conscience. That is, that everyone should be able to distinguish between what is morally right and morally wrong. It makes no difference what culture you come from or what culture you live in. You and I know that every culture has some basic moral rights and wrongs. They just know it. It is indwelt within them. The culture may be different, the language may be different, and everything about it. But there is something within the human being that says some things are right and some things are wrong. Look, if you will, in the second chapter of Romans, and notice, if you will, in verse 14 and 15, writing and speaking primarily to the Jews at this point. And here's what he says when he uses the idea of Gentiles. He's talking about the unbelievers, and he says in verse 14, for when Gentiles who do not even have the law do instinctively the things of the law, these not having the law are law to themselves. He says, now, how is it that those who don't even have the law of God, they don't have the Ten Commandments, they don't have any of this, how is it that they instinctively, something inside of them knows that certain things are right and certain things are wrong? Listen, he says, in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternately accusing or else defending them. So what is he saying? Universally, everybody has a conscience. Now, what they do with it is something else. How they explain it, how they respond to something else, but we all have one. And we're all responsible for responding in the proper fashion. And it's amazing to me how many people will hear a very strong alarm, explain it away, rationalize it on the basis, well, after all, nobody's perfect. And after all, everybody has their weakness. Everybody has their frailty in life. Or they look around and say, well, he's doing it and she's doing it, and they promote it. And so instead of listening to a God-given conscience given to protect us, we just ignore it. Now, somebody says, well, what is the difference in the conscience and the Holy Spirit? Well, there's a lot of difference. Let's think about it for a moment. Your conscience is limited to the way it has been programmed, and we'll talk about that in a moment, because all of our conscience has been programmed in some fashion. So the Holy Spirit now is that person of the Trinity given to us by God to enable us to accomplish the things God wants us to accomplish, achieve the things God wants us to achieve, and naturally, part of that is to live a godly life. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works, listen, works also with our conscience. The Holy Spirit is the one, listen, who sharpens our conscience. The Holy Spirit is the one who brings us back to Scripture when we find something coming on the radar screen that should not be there. The Holy Spirit is the one who reminds us, this is what God has said. This is a verse you learned. You know this is in the Bible. The Holy Spirit is the one who will remind us of something we have heard, either in a message or something that you've read. This is the way God thinks. This is what God would have you do. This is the will of God. This is the way God operates. The conscience doesn't do that. You see, think about this. The conscience doesn't argue. Conscience is not going to argue. The conscience sends out a signal. The Spirit of God is the one who pricks you. The Spirit of God is the one who will bring passages of Scripture to you. And you'll give some rationalization. The Spirit of God will fling back to your heart a passage of Scripture that says to you, you know that's not right. You know that's wrong. You're rationalizing. You're defending this. This doesn't fit who you are. This is not the will of God. So the Holy Spirit and the conscience are not the same. And it's interesting to me that even young Christians, for example, you don't have to give them a lot of information to know that some things are right and wrong. In some areas of life, there'd be some fine tuning that, of course, they never thought about it in that way. But for the most of us, we know what's right and we know what's wrong. And the truth is, the consequences of violating your conscience can be exactly what Paul was saying to Timothy. It can mean shipwreck in your life. And all of us know people who've done just that. They've made shipwreck of their life. They've run upon the rocks. And things, listen, they just about destroyed their life, whether it's in their marriage, whether it's in their finances, in their morality, in their relationships. They just about destroyed their life. Why? Ignored and rationalized and excused and defended and disobeyed the alarm that God sent off in their life over and over and over again. And this is why parents need to be very careful what you do in front of your children. Because whether you realize it or not, you're teaching them something very, very important. Because you see, the truth is, our conscience gets programmed. Now, how do we program our conscience? Well, He's given it to us. And what's in this conscience? Think, for example, about a child just born. Conscience is absolutely perfectly clear. No evil, no nothing. Somebody says, what about that sinful nature? Well, a baby that small, forget it. It's there. But the conscience is clear, has no idea, no conception of things. How do we program that conscience? We begin to program that conscience by what you teach your children. For example, you want to teach them to obey you and to respect you. So when you say, sweetheart, don't do that, you turn your head, they see the heads turn, they do it anyway. So you come back and you say, you don't do that. It has consequences when you disobey your mom or your dad. And so from the simplistic things of life, you begin to program the minds of your children. So they grow up believing certain things that you've verbally taught them, and many things you've taught them by action you never said. They got programmed watching you. If you said, for example, to them, don't drink. Bad. Have an accident. Could kill somebody. But they open the refrigerator and you've got a six-pack in there. I want to tell you something. All the verbiage in the world is not nearly as strong in programming that child as what they see in the refrigerator. Do not use profanity. And they hear you using profanity. Your actions are far more effective than your verbiage. And you could just go right down the line. So the truth is, all of us were programmed by our parents in many different ways. But we were also programmed by our teachers at school. They taught us certain things. They taught us a philosophy about life that we didn't even realize what was going on. And so today you send your child off to school, public school. Not only just public schools, but some private schools. Now remember what I'm saying. I'm not saying that all schools are bad or all teachers are bad. But there is enough bad, evil, wicked, vile, unbelieving stuff out there that you send your children off to school, and they very suddenly, they begin to program your children. They program them morally. They program them about their ethics, about their social contacts. They program them about what they should accept in society and not accept in society. And what is happening is, we're programming a whole generation of children to accept things and ways of life that are absolutely, totally, diametrically opposed to everything God teaches in His Word. We are being programmed today by television, by radio, now the internet, magazines, newspapers, teachers in school. They've got to deal with your conscience to program the way you think. Now, let's say, for example, you say, well, you know, they're not going to program me. You're already being programmed. Let me give you an example. You already have accepted as a lifestyle, you've already accepted many moral issues that 20 years ago or 40 years ago, you would never have accepted. You would never have accepted it. Why? Because you were taught, you were programmed, you believed that these things were morally in opposition to the law of God, the will of God, and what's best for your life. But little by little, movie after movie, news after news, picture after picture, you name it, over and over and over and over again, you hear it when you watch the news, and you listen to it, and you watch the movies, and you sit and you watch what's going on in the movies, and this is going on, and that's going on. You know, before you even start watching it, you know when it says it's R-rated or whatever kind of rated it is, you know that you're more than likely going to see something that's not right. You see, God knows when He gave us His commandments, He knew we needed a strong guideline. And what have we done? We just ignored it. The commandments of God are the commandments of God, not the commandments of man. He is the source of those commandments. And so we are being programmed. And what we have to decide is, do we give in to all of that? Or do we buckle up and say, you know what, I'm going to live a godly life no matter what they say, what they do. I'm not going to let anything in my mind pre-program the very laws of God that were given to me when I was very, very early in life. And you see, what's happened is that years and years ago, and many of us have lived long enough to, years ago, it was a very subtle thing. Very subtle. Now it's open, blatant, absolutely, it's like defying the truth. Defy godly people, defy the church, defy the Word of God. Forget it, ignore it, make fun of it, laugh at it. And if you watch the movies or watch those things that are going on, that's usually what they do. They make fun of spiritual things. You know what they're doing? Pre-programming. Can you imagine what is in the minds of the average young child and teenager and young adult? What's in the average mind of those children and those young adults today when they've been brought up in a society that has chosen to reject the laws of God and accept the ways of man? Well, that's exactly what's happening. And that's why when a Christian says, well, I got a conscience, and so therefore, surely, I can just trust my conscience. Not necessarily. And you see, here's what the Scripture says. Whatever a man or a nation sows, it'll be what we sow, more than we sow, later than we sow. What I want to tell you is this. When it comes to programming us to do evil, listen, later is here. We are already here in the middle of it. How many people have made shipwreck of their life? It's a total disaster. And they can look back and see. They used to believe those things. Used to read the Bible. Used to pray. Used to go to church. Used to be interested in the things of God. But somewhere along the way, you began to listen to erroneous, godless. You begin to view godless. You begin to be influenced and programmed by the godless. And now, the one thing the godless do not tell you is, if you follow their philosophy, you'll make a shipwreck of your life. Just because they may have plenty of money, prestige, position, authority, popularity, fame, and all the rest, remember, there's a day coming. And those who have awesome opportunities of influence, influencing people greatly, and influencing multitudes of people, and you misuse that, I tell you, God's judgment is coming upon you. You will answer to Almighty God for misusing your position, your authority, your popularity, your finances, and all the rest. To program people to believe and to think the wrong thing and absolutely bring shipwreck to their life.
Thank you for listening to Can You Trust Your Conscience? For more inspirational messages like this one, visit our online 24/7 station. And if you'd like to know more about Charles Stanley or In Touch Ministries, stop by intouch.org. This podcast is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia.